listener production.
Shares.
Market.
The S&P.
The ASX.
Stocks.
Motley Fool Money. Stock of the Week.
G'day, fools, and welcome to another Motley Fool Stock of the Week, our premiere YouTube series. A premiere YouTube series? One of the two. It is the series where we share with you one of our recommended stocks, one of our buy recommendations. And we do it not only on YouTube, but through our Motley Fool Money podcast as well. That's right. We are in living color on the YouTubes, but we're also in your earbuds if you're listening to this on the Motley Fool Money podcast feed. Now, I'm pretty excited this week. We have an interesting company that I'm going to say I don't know as much about as I would like. And so luckily, I have my fellow Motley Fool analyst, portfolio manager, smart bloke, nice guy, investor extraordinaire, Ryan Newman. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Scott. How are you, mate?
I've built you up, mate. It better be good is all I'm saying. I'm very well, thank you, pal.
Hey, yeah, you've built me up, that's for sure.
I know. Let's tell the people what stock we're talking about and then tell me a bit about the company itself, what it does, some attributes of the business. Not so much why we like it. We'll save that bit. But give me a cook's tour of the business itself.
Yeah, sure. So the company that we're talking about today is called Marley Spoon, and it trades on the ASX with the ticker code MMM. And this is actually interesting. So someone has recently pointed this out to me, and I didn't pick up on this when I was recommending it. But if you sound that out, it's mmm.
Oh, there you go.
That's really reflective of what the company does. So,
I'm too old, mate. I look at that and go Triple M, the radio network, which frankly, we're part of the listener network on our podcast. So I'm kind of happy with that as well. But I have it pointed out to me. As the cool kids say, I was today years old when I found out that's what the ASX code was supposed to mean. There you go. I like it.
Look, whether or not that was deliberate, who knows, but it works. And the reason it works is because Marley Spoon is a cook-at-home meal kit delivery business. So what it does is it provides pre-portioned, high-quality ingredients straight to your doorstep. So if you think about it, I guess in terms of the supermarket, you actually go to the supermarket, you pick out all the foods, you know, you think about what ingredients you need for a dinner. Marley Spoon takes care of all of that. And I'll get into how it works in a moment, but just a little background onto the business. So it was founded in Germany in 2014. It listed on the ASX as well, I believe, in 2018. And it's a subscription-based service. And I think that's sort of a little bit strange, or it probably is a little bit strange for a lot of investors who generally think of subscription-based businesses in terms of technology. That's not the case for this business. It's a subscription to food. And it's quite an appealing service that they run as well, which we'll get into. So basically what the company does is it operates under two major brands, Marley Spoon and also Dinnerly. Dinnerly is the company's budget option, so a slightly cheaper alternative. And it provides these meal packages to 272,000 customers around the world. Okay. Now, in terms of how it works, so chefs at Marley Spoon design, they basically design menus, you know, a couple of dozen a week. They've probably got an arsenal of 2,000 or so menu options that they can roll out to their customers. Each week though, they select about 36 of those recipes or those menu items, to present to consumers. At that point, they present those options to the consumers. The customer selects how many meals they want, so between 2 and 5 for the week. They select the portion sizes, so anywhere between 2-person box or 4-person box, and also various menu alterations, whether that be vegetarian or lactose intolerant, various alterations that you can make.
Yeah, right.
When you put in those orders and when you know, the entire customer base puts in those orders, Marley Spoon then sources those ingredients directly. So it has a preference for direct sourcing, predominantly from farms or from the producer of it, as opposed to from a local supermarket. So it is quite fresh food. It's also a very diverse supplier base. They do make sure that they spread that supply risk and do get it from a range of different sources. From those suppliers, it then goes to Marley Spoon's various distribution centers around the world. It's got 7, 3 in Australia, or I think it's actually soon to increase to 4. It may already have increased to 4. The US has 3 distribution centers and also 1 in Europe. And that's located in Netherlands, and it basically acts as a distribution center for, I think, about 6 or 7 different countries in Europe. So
wow, okay.
It's quite a scalable operation over there. From these distribution centers, they receive deliveries from various suppliers. They prepare the meal kits themselves. They've got, you know, various facilities, cool rooms to help keep the meat fresh, the veggies fresh, and also then distribute it to the consumers on their preferred day. So you might select, my preferred day is to receive it on a Tuesday, so on. And from there, you enjoy. So the meals that Marley Spoon provides are generally 6 to 7 step recipes, so it's quite easy, prepared in under 30 minutes, so it's really sold as a convenient option for consumers. And the company also really likes to push that, you know, that experience, the cultural experience that its services allow its consumers to have. So, you know, by saving you time from going to the supermarket, that's part of the family experience. You know, you can actually sit down and enjoy a meal with your family. It's also targeted at, you know, would be cooks. I'm not a cook myself. I burn toast, so I don't know how I do with Marley Spoon. But look, I reckon I'd be happy to give it a go. So it's got to be easier than preparing a meal from scratch.
Mate, you reckon you burn toast? I reckon you burn water, right? You know, when you and I aren't the culinary kings, maybe we should be asking other people about this particular one, or maybe not, because we are probably exactly the target market, right? I've had a decent background in the food industry. Before I joined the Motley Fool, I worked for a whole lot of food companies and Woolworths. So I've kind of been on that journey to some degree. And I won't say how many years ago, because it'll date me too badly, but the supermarkets have been trying to capture this home meal replacement category, they used to call it. And the idea was, you know, the idea, not so much deliver from home, and things have moved on since then. Again, that was a long time ago. But the idea that, you know, you'd grab something at a supermarket or a small store near your train station or your transit stop to take home and cook. And that was kind of the idea. On the other hand, I work for food companies where they know that the guilt, particularly for mums, and without being gender specific about it, tends to be mums, because that's just the cultural world we live in, who feel guilty if they get something out of a can or a packet. But if they make something, they feel like they've prepared for the family. And again, they might be outdated stereotypes, but they're still true for many, many people across the country. It kind of feels like these guys, and they're not alone, by the way, I'm sure we'll talk about competitors in a minute, but they're not alone in having the same idea that if you can help people do what they want to do, but in a simple, easy, healthy way, you do kind of crack that nut if you get it right. You do find a way to be that solution for people who are saying, well, I don't want to do nothing, but I don't have the time or interest or, frankly, ability, like you and I, to do everything. But if you make it easy for me, nutritious, guilt-free, then I can find a space in that market. It sounds like that's the kind of trend they're trying to capitalize on, those and their competitors, of course.
Yeah, look, I guess a good way to think about this company is it really operates, I guess, at the intersection of takeaway, so restaurants and supermarkets. So, The takeaway option, the restaurant option, it really offers that convenience, you know, I'll cook it for you, whereas the supermarket means, you know, you go and select all your ingredients and then take it home and cook it yourself. So Marley Spoon really operates in the center of that. You know, it recognizes that there is convenience, but it's also a cheaper and arguably a healthier option as well. You know, when you're actually cooking it, you see what you're making, you see what's actually going into your food. So it really operates in that segment.
Yeah, I like it, mate. Let's move towards what we like about the company. Maybe this is a one-step or a two-step move as we do it. But I guess I'm curious about there's plenty of other competitors out there. It feels like one of these kind of hot categories, buy now, pay later, and then there's ride sharing, and then there's kind of meal delivery, which is more the Uber Eats, Deliveroos, and then there's meal replacement. I'm thinking HelloFresh, Marley Spoon. I can't think of any others, but I'm sure there's others out there. It's one of those categories that feels like it's new and exciting, maybe big, maybe not, maybe plenty of players, maybe winner takes all. At the scale of trying to get something like this, as you say, you talk about the warehouses, the food preparation. To some degree, I'm hearing you talking, you're thinking, as a consumer, that sounds great. Part of me is thinking, oh, man, as a business, I've got to get the stock in, make sure my suppliers actually deliver so I can give my customers the food. I've got to prepare it, package it, deliver it. It's got to be fresh, a lot of cost and waste in that. Part of me is thinking, I'm impressed that these guys have actually taken on such a big, big undertaking to be this solution provider because, and again, Europe, you're talking about Europe, mate, delivering a 6 or 7 countries in the Netherlands with fresh food, that's a remarkable challenge. It almost feels like more a logistics company than a food business. So kind of wrap that up for me. Maybe I'm highlighting the risks. Maybe I'm just impressed with the business. I'm not even sure where I'm going with this. As you're saying it, I'm learning, as I said earlier. Why do we like Marley Spoon, the business? What is it that we kind of looked at or you've looked at and gone, for all of everything it does, the risks, the challenges, the competitors, the opportunities, the market size, how do you wrap that up and say, and here's why we like Marley Spoon?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, and I think probably the simplest way to put it. Look, which question do you want to ask, Scott?
Yeah, all of them, please, and quickly.
All of the above, all right.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, I think the best way to think about this is it really, I guess it's it sits in a position to benefit from three major trends, I think is probably the best way to think about this. One of those trends is the shift to online shopping and e-commerce. Now, we know from our experience that various industries are making this shift. We know Amazon, Kogan, Temple and Webster, for example, are all benefiting from that shift towards online. Where it stands, though, groceries haven't made that shift to the same extent yet. So Marley Spoon estimates that anywhere between 3 and 4% of the market is, or the food demand is online. That's still quite low compared to other industries. Meal kits themselves are a very tiny sliver of that as well. Mm. So, it's operating in a very small, a niche almost, but a rapidly growing one. And I really like that. Mm. So $7 trillion market opportunity is what the company estimates. And as you can imagine, as it is big, yeah. As more demand shifts online, then the demand for something like Marley Spoon can continue to grow. So yes, you mentioned that there are quite a few different operators in this segment. There's also more niche ones that, Marley Spoon might be one that provides fresh food that you cook yourself. Whereas, there's others like My Muscle Chef, I think is another one, which basically does, ready to eat meals. You just heat it up and it's more designed around, bodybuilders or, fitness junkies, basically.
I mean, I pretend I don't know about that, Ryan, but obviously I that's all I eat, as you well know. I'm a specimen of health and vitality. But yeah, I take your point.
As you drink your Coke Zero.
Cheers, exactly.
So look, that's one of the major trends that Marley Spoon stands to benefit from.
Nice.
Another one, as we just mentioned, is the healthy eating and the convenience side of things. So people are becoming more, I guess, aware and wary about what they are putting in their bodies. They want to make sure that they're eating healthy. It is competitively priced as well. So one of the things that I like about this business is that it does have the capacity to generate higher margin earnings than what a supermarket does. And we'll get to some of those reasons in a moment. But I think the main part with this health side of things is it's fresh meals. You're preparing it yourself and it is convenient. Mm-hmm. You know what's going into your body, you know what you're eating, and you have full control over that. The third intersection, the third trend in this intersection, I think, is the waste reduction and the conscious consumption that consumers are starting to have. And this, I think, is particularly targeted at the younger generations. And I apologize for this, Scott, because I realize that in all of my videos so far, I'm referring to the younger generations as though you're not part of it.
I had assumed you included me in it, Ryan. Now I'm offended. I thought I was part of the young kids. Now apparently I'm not, you're telling me.
Look, I know you recently turned 30, so.
All right, you're back in the good books. Keep going.
So look, in terms of this waste reduction, we know that climate change is a big issue all over the world. It's something that we desperately need to deal with. Mm-hmm. The fact is that with the agriculture industry, the food industry, there is a massive amount of waste that goes into it. So enormous emissions, enormous water waste. And it's estimated that between 30 and 40% of the entire food chain is wasted every year.
Wow.
Now, various reasons for that. One of the reasons, and this could account for, say, 10%, I think that was the estimate, about 10%, is from wastage within the supermarkets. Now, various reasons for that, but some of those reasons include excess stock, low demand, and even things like poor cosmetics. So if you've ever been shopping at Woolies and looked at a capsicum and thought, that looks like a really, odd-shaped capsicum, I'll get this one. Chances are everyone else is thinking the same thing and they're not going to take that capsicum. Yep. It's an enormous source of food waste. What this company can do is actually put those sort of ingredients to use. By the time it's chopped up and prepared, no one's going to know any different. So it does.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
It does reduce the waste there.
Yeah. It's probably cheaper, right? I imagine you've got to get cheaper. If Woolies and Coles don't want it, Marley Spoon's probably picking it up cheaper, which makes their business also more profitable. Yeah.
I would imagine so. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they are getting it from predominantly from, you know, direct sourced. So there probably is some sort of element there too. But, you know, probably not selecting it themselves. The probably another big thing, though, for Marley Spoon is it operates a source-to-order model versus what we would consider a source-to-stock model in supermarkets. And what that means is, so we mentioned before that the consumer puts in their order, they tell Marley Spoon what they want for the week. From there, Marley Spoon goes out and orders the ingredients that they need. So we're looking at probably a 1% excess there. And that excess is generally donated to a charity or fed into compost and basically returned to the earth. If you look at the supermarket alternative where it's sourced to stock, the supermarkets themselves are incentivized to put as much on their shelves as they can hold. And if it's not purchased, then it's gone. You know, it goes to waste. So that's where that, you know, potentially 10% excess comes into it. That just goes to waste. So Marley Spoon really tries to, I guess, sell itself on this more consumer-friendly and also environmentally friendly alternative. And it is a carbon-neutral business, which I think is really important. And a lot of consumers and users are actually starting to really focus on that sort of qualitative data point. You know, they want to know that the companies that they're investing in and the companies that they're purchasing from in the first place are looking after the earth and looking after their customers and effectively all stakeholders. And that is exactly what Marley Spoon's doing. A couple more trends that I think deserve a mention as to why I particularly like Marley Spoon. So an enormous reach from those seven distribution centers. It estimates that it has a reach to 190 million households. That is a lot of households. That's now, a few, yeah. As I said before, it's got about 270,000 active customers, so it's obviously nowhere near that capacity just at this point. But the fact that it has the distribution capacity to do that, or that the reach to do that, I think is really impressive. Rapid growth as well. This business started in 2014. It's already up to about 254 million euros. To put that in context, it's $410 million thereabouts in Australian dollar terms over 7 years. That's rapid growth. An enormous total addressable market, as I said before. It's also got very ambitious targets, which they are ambitious, but 1 billion euros it's targeting by 2025 and 5 billion euros by 2030 in revenue. Okay. So some pretty high targets, but I mean, based on their growth to date, I think it's doable. I also really like that it's scalable. So we mentioned before that I suppose the distribution centers that it has seven. It has the reach of 190 million households. But what it can do with those, I mean, it's not customer facing, right? So what it can actually do with those distribution centers is higher automation. As it does build demand, it can get better procurement terms from its suppliers, better deals with its logistics providers as well, and also improved waste reduction. And also improving retention among those customers. Now, as it gets more data from more customer inputs, it can provide better meals, more personalized options. And I think that trend is really starting to play out. So in the second quarter of the 2021 financial year, 70% of revenue came from customers who had ordered six times, and that was up 5%. Okay. Now, the data that this company has presented is that if a customer reaches box six, so they've made six orders, the likelihood of them buying another box is more than 94%. So it's really about habit. It's really about habit building, and also, I guess, you know, as a customer stays on for longer, the retention curve starts to flatten out. So they might lose quite a few along the way. You know, maybe people who just try it out from a voucher. You know, they don't like it, or they it doesn't suit their lifestyle, so they lose them. But then, as they build a habit, then that can really start to build a trend for them.
Really cool, mate. That's a very compelling bull case, can I say. It's an interesting business, I think. You mentioned, I'm going to quickly draw a line through that. 5 billion by 2030 in euros. I'd say that's about a 20-fold increase in revenue is that they're targeting. If I remember, you said 250-odd million euros. So
that's about a 40-fold. I think that's about a 40-fold increase, yeah.
There you go. Even worse, or even better, sorry. My math's even worse. I mean, that, you know,
I could be wrong. I don't have a calculator, but...
No, no, all good, all good. Even if they, you know, to the extent they get even close to that, even if they get half of that right, that's still somewhere between a 10 and 20 fold, depending on which one of us is right with our maths, gained from here. And you assume, as you said, if that scales profit-wise even more, there should be even more profit growth to come.
Motley Fool Money. For more, subscribe to the free newsletter at fool.com.au/listener.
It's a pretty impressive potential story. I say potential, which nicely segues me into the risk section. See what I did there?
Nice.
Magic. The viewers and the listeners won't even notice it'd be that good.
Well practiced.
Oh, yeah. Seamless. Mate, tell me why, not so much why I wouldn't invest, but as you're thinking about a recommendation of Marley Spoon, which we have recommended to our members, as I said, what are the risks that you're looking out for that the investment might be going off the rails?
Yeah, so look, one of the main ones, you mentioned it before, there are other competitors out there. So Marley Spoon isn't the only one that's recognised this segment, the potential of this segment. There's others like HelloFresh, which is its closest competitor. There's various other niche providers as well. I mentioned before MyMuscleChef. And I imagine as well that those niche providers will continue to expand as, you know, personalisation really kicks in, and I guess the needs of humans continues to grow. So, for instance, vegetarian, vegan,
right. Gluten-free,
lactose intolerant, gluten-free. Yep. So there's plenty of alternatives out there, and I think one of Marley Spoon's, I guess its challenges is that it needs to keep up with that. So it really needs to be able to provide options to that broad need to fulfill those broad needs rather. It also doesn't have locking contracts with customers. And I think that's a strength in terms of customer acquisition. So if I know that there's no 12-month locking contract, then I'm far more inclined to actually go out there and say, yeah, I'll give it a try. I think if it did have a locking contract, then it would be more difficult. At the same time, though, if I don't enjoy that, I could just take advantage of a voucher, you know, get a really cheap week worth of meals and then cancel the service. So that is a risk. I think as well, though, if you're looking at this from a competitor point of view, if they're offering similar terms, then people can sort of rotate between the different services and the different providers. I don't think that's ideal for a company like Marley Spoon, but at the same time, I do think it does offer potential for it to acquire customers from someone like HelloFresh. Mm. You know, people who are looking for a different set of meals or a different approach. And that works both ways, obviously. Marley Spoon customers could also move over to HelloFresh, et cetera. So it is a risk, but it is also an opportunity. Now, Marley Spoon operates in the food segment. We know that that's a highly regulated segment and also one that that people do hold very close to their hearts and to their families. It's a very important thing. Contamination is a big no-no. If there is contamination in any of Marley Spoon's meals, and that doesn't even need to be fully in its control, right? Because the contamination could happen at the supplier end and then it just distributes it. So
even if it really is home, right, at some level, I mean, if your greens aren't looked after, you could start blaming the food company when really, well, it's, you know, like anyone, it could be you, but you can easily blame them because they sent me the food.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's really important that this company stays on top of that to make sure that it's contracting with good suppliers that it trusts and I guess maintaining those relationships and also continues to invest in, you know, the technology that can actually keep that food safe at its distribution centers as well as, you know, making sure that it's safe on the logistics side of things too. Supply chain, it's diversified, which is great, but not immune. We saw earlier this year with Texas, so there was some pretty extreme weather conditions in Texas, which did force the company to close its facilities, which meant that customers couldn't get their meals. Now, I think given the circumstances, most customers would be they'd have a fair bit of leeway and not blame Marley Spoon directly for that. They'd recognize the circumstances, but it does show that a company like Marley Spoon isn't immune to that. It does cause disruption. You know, if people can't get their meals, maybe they cancel. Maybe they come back with, you know, less demand. So there is that. And also, I think the high borrowing rates, this was something that did, I guess, get the market a little bit antsy fairly recently. The company came out with an announcement that they basically got this $65 million credit facility and they were being charged 8.5% over the three-month LIBOR. Now, what that means, I'll interpret that for all the listeners.
Thank you.
Basically, LIBOR is the London Interbank Offered Rate. It is basically the rate at which banks, major global banks, lend to one another. So it's a pretty standard rate at which we would which we would compare to. Mm-hmm. Saying that Marley Spoon is being charged 8.5% over that rate, we're basically saying it's getting charged roughly 9% interest, 10% interest, maybe. That's a pretty high rate of interest, and I think something that did probably get some investors offside. It's not the only company that gets these sort of rates. You know, other higher risk or smaller cap companies do tend to get less favorable borrowing terms, but it is a risk as well, you know, and a high cost of capital, if you will.
Very nice, mate. You've given us a really nice summary there too. It's a fascinating industry. I'm super excited of spending a bit of time with you talking about it, because it's one I just didn't know about. The number of HelloFresh coupon cards I get in the mail and with the product I buy is phenomenal. I could have built
Put them to use, Scott.
Yeah, exactly. I should. Well, no, this is HelloFresh, not Marley Spoon, mate. So I'd be going the other way.
Sorry, not HelloFresh. Put Marley Spoon.
So, but obviously, you know, it's an industry that's going somewhere, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see these guys capitalize on this sort of trend. And as you say, the benefit, I guess, too, if you can grow and get to some sort of size like that, the economies of scale in terms of, as you say, sourcing and pricing and that kind of stuff, it doesn't necessarily strike me as a winner takes all market like a Facebook or something like that. But by the same token, if you can be the gorilla in the room, and if your supply costs and your procurement costs and distribution costs can be meaningfully lower than your competitors, it does kind of let itself, you've already mentioned scale, but that kind of gets reinforcing to some degree. If you've got to pay 10, 15, 20, 30% more for your competitors rather than Marley Spoon, even at that premium level, not necessarily trying to price discount, but it makes it a pretty attractive offer for, in theory, equivalent quality product, in theory, equivalent quality recipes, but potentially at a cheap price, or, as you say, maybe more margin for shareholders.
You know, and the other thing I think worth mentioning there as well, that the company did have a couple of headwinds during that second quarter, so the quarter just recently finished. And one of those headwinds was actually cost inflation. So the inflation on the input costs, as well as labor shortages. And I think that's largely related to the pandemic. So I think that's probably more a short-term thing. Okay. But the inflation on input costs. And I think what's interesting about this is that it does represent a short-term, it absolutely represents a risk. But at the same time, if you compare it to supermarkets, so supermarkets are passing on price increases in their food, consumers are getting used to it. I think that also gives someone like Marley Spoon the capacity to also increase their prices, because supermarkets are doing it, so food is going up anyway, so Marley Spoon can also put the price of their food up. So I think in that sense as well, yes, there are risks, but I think too, it can also provide an element of hedging, inflation hedging. Which that's, I think, is another way to look at it.
Mate, let's wrap it up. You've done a fantastic job of giving us a summary of the business, why you like it, and the risks of investing in Marley Spoon. Give me the 60-second version, mate, for those who've skipped through to the end, just to find out from Ryan Newman why Marley Spoon is a stock they should add to their portfolio. What is the 60-second buy case, the elevator pitch, if you like, for Marley Spoon?
All right. So, look, I think the big thing is here, it does find itself at the intersection of three major trends, and those being e-commerce, healthy eating, waste reduction. These are really important things that I think a lot of people are starting to think more about. In terms of e-commerce, it provides more convenience, in my mind, also personalization options, rather, that supermarkets just don't have. The fast growth is tremendous. So already in Australian dollar equivalent, from zero to more than $400 million in 7 years is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And look, it obviously has the capacity as well to continue expanding. It's expanding in Perth, so I don't believe it had a distribution center over there just yet. So it's sort of expanding its reach in that regard. Can also continue to expand across the United States, across Europe too. So there is the potential there for faster growth. And I should also mention the potential to upsell. So right now it's really dinner options. It's also expanding into breakfast, lunch, heat to eat, and also special occasions. So whether that be Thanksgiving or Christmas lunches, you name it. And all of that summarized, this really does create an enormous market for Marley Spoon to grow into. So yes, there is competition, but as you said, I don't think it's a winner takes all necessarily.
Beautiful. Thank you, Ryan, for sharing some of Marley Spoon with us. Mate, remind me of what the ticket code is just for my own amusement.
That's MMM.
Love it. Thank you, mate. Thanks for playing along. Fools, we hope you've enjoyed yet another Stock of the Week. As I mentioned earlier, this is both a YouTube series and part of our Motley Fool Money podcast feed. So if you're doing one and not the other, why not check the other one out? If you're on the podcast feed, there's heaps more on YouTube to check out, including, well, seeing me on video is not necessarily great. Ryan's a better looking bloke than I am. So come and check that out on video, or there are other videos we do publish. If you're watching this on YouTube, thank you. Jump onto the Motley Fool Money podcast feed. If you want a little bit more from us, we kind of dissect the news of the week. We also do some Q&A. To check that out. If you are on the socials, you can follow us pretty much anywhere except TikTok, at least for now. My singing and dancing is not quite up to scratch, nor is the rest of the team. It's just quietly where, as dancers and singers, we're fantastic analysts. But the rest of the socials you can grab us. If you're on Twitter, which is the best place to grab everybody, you can get Ryan. He's at TMF Newmy, N-E-W-M-Y, TMF Newmy. While we're with Twitter and Insta, if you're on both or either of those platforms, grab me at TMF Scott P. That's on both. Or The Motley Fool AU, again, on both Twitter and Insta. And if you're on Facebook, look us up, The Motley Fool Australia, or I'm Scott Phillips Money. Well, thanks again for spending a bit of time with us. I hope you've enjoyed finding out more about Marley Spoon. I certainly have. If you're not either convinced to buy the stock or just a little bit hungry, you haven't been paying attention. Until next time, I've been Scott Phillips. Fool on.
The Motley Fool and people appearing in this program may have positions in the companies mentioned. General advice only. Please speak to your financial professional to understand how it may pertain to your situation. Subscribe to the free newsletter at fool.com.au/listener. The Motley Fool operates under Financial Services Licence 400691. Listener.